Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. This morning's program, we're going to be talking to Jessamine County Judge Executive David West. Not about the government. No, we're going to be talking to him about his parents, Holton and Jackie West. Many of you remember Holton West from the funeral home, Betts and West Funeral Home. We'll discuss with David his family, the West family, and how all that came to be in just a moment.
Hi, this is Will Osborne, sports director at Jess FM, and I want to invite you to join the coach Arnold Pruitt and myself every Thursday night for the Zaxby's East-West Sports Hour from 7 until 8 o'clock. We welcome in coaches, players, and administrators from around Jessamine County. Now, this is the only show of its kind dedicated solely to the student-athletes of Jessamine County, and we do it every Thursday night broadcasting live from the Zaxby's in Nicholasville, located just off the bypass. It's the Zaxby's East-West Sports Hour on your home for Jessamine County Sports, 105.9 Jess FM.
Welcome back to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you here on this Saturday morning. And with me today, we have the pleasure of having our Jessamine County Judge Executive, David West. Hello, David.
Hello, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Glad you came. And today, we want to not necessarily talk about what you're going through in the last 9 or 10 months. We want to focus more on your family. And when I say that, I'm talking about particularly your mom and dad.
Okay.
Who a lot of people who are from Jessamine County or have been here for, well, I don't know, how long has your dad been gone?
He died in 1981, Doug.
So it's been quite a while.
It's been quite a while. He was a young man.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like that at the time, but he was 54 years old.
Yeah, he was young. Well, he was almost our age.
I mean,
we're getting there. A lot of people that would have been around prior to that recognize or knew him through his connection with the funeral home. And a lot of people may not have known him, but they know the name. Because of the continuance of the funeral home. So that's what we're going to talk about today on All Things Jessamine. First off, David, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your dad, his name, where he was born, how he even came around here.
My father was, of course, Holton Quinn West, and the Quinn was his mother's family's name. And there are still some Quinns around here now. He was a native of Jessamine County, grew up here. His mother died when he was 2 years old. And his father worked for a Denman clothing store.
Well, right here on Main Street.
Right here on Main Street.
In fact, right close to kind of where we are located,
just,
I think.
Almost exactly.
Yeah.
He was a Jessamine County native.
Yeah.
His father and his grandmother raised him until he was about 8 years old. In fact, one of the sadder stories of his life, as if having your mother die at 2 years old wasn't sad enough, one Christmas day, he got a football, and he was so happy. He was 8 or 10 years old, and he ran upstairs to show his grandmother the football, and she was dead.
Oh my
so
gosh.
He found her dead, and through that process, he became interested in the funeral business.
Wow.
Because he was there when they removed her from her from her residence. In fact, it was the residence that they were at is where the Rainbow Restaurant or the Cottage Cafe sits right now.
Across from the funeral home.
Across from the funeral home. So he saw the whole process. And at 8 or 10 years old, I think he set his course to be a funeral director.
Now, was there at that time, let's see, Holton was born in 1926, and you said he was 8 or 10, so in 36 or somewhere in there when this happened. Was there, in fact, across the street a funeral home?
The funeral home was not across the street at that time. It was in another location. I know that the funeral home at one time was behind the what I call Burton's Gulf Station on Main Street.
That big brick house.
The big brick house.
Yeah. Now, it would at that time, would it have been Mr. Betts? I guess it was Bill Betts.
Bill Betts, the way that Betts and West Funeral Home started, as far as I'm aware, Mr. Betts went off to World War One, and interestingly enough, his brother-in-law was Judge Gwynn.
Now, Judge Gwynn was a county judge, just like you are.
Absolutely.
It was a little bit different as far as the job responsibilities.
They had
then.
Judicial powers at that time.
But he was the Gwynn of Gwynn Kurtz Hager.
That's correct.
So you have two brother-in-laws who basically were in competition with each other.
They were. My understanding was the agreement when Mr. Betts went to World War One, when he would come back, that they were going to go in business together. Mr. Betts returned from his service in World War I, and Judge Gwynn had gone into business with Bailey Kurtz. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't room for Bill. Whether there was a disagreement or what, I don't know. But Mr. Betts took exception to that and started his own funeral home.
Now, did he start by himself? Did Smithers come in with him at that point, or when did that happen?
The first generation was Betts and Betts funeral home. Okay. It was Bill Betts and his brother, Burdine Betts.
Okay. I never heard that one before.
Absolutely right.
Burdine.
And then J.C. Smithers apparently bought Burdine Betts' part out, so mm-hmm. it was Betts and Smithers. Mm-hmm. Later, Garland Holcomb bought J.C. Smithers out. It was Betts and Holcomb. My father bought Mr. Holcomb's interest. It was Betts and West at that time, and that was in the late 50s. And then my father purchased Mr. Betts' part, but never changed the name.
Now, is Betts, he was alive then when your dad bought Holcomb out?
That's correct.
So that is the reason that it has always remained constant, that name, Betts.
Yes.
Is that he was always there.
He was always there. In fact, he was there for several years after my father purchased the entirety of the business.
You know, it's interesting with that place and with Hager and Cundiff, too, is that and I guess this is the way with a lot of funeral homes, is the person that kind of started it. Those names just seem to hang around. Judge Gwynn has been gone for years. Bill Betts has been gone for years. But I guess it's the familiarity of the name.
That's what it is.
That you keep it.
I think so.
Yeah. Because right now, if you just said West Funeral Home, they probably would figure it out, but they're not going to recognize it as good as if you said Betts and West.
The Betts and West has been around since, as I said, the late 50s.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the name Betts isn't a common one, and we get Best and West all the time. Sometimes we get, is this the Best Western Funeral Home? But it's Betts, B-E-T-T-S, and West.
Yeah. Well, that happened, you said, back in 51. Now,
late 50s.
Late 50s. And then Holton died in 81.
That's correct.
Now, at that point in time, his wife, Jackie, who I mention only because I want to back up a little bit, she kind of took the thing over with you sons, and we'll get to that. But mm-hmm. let's talk about Jackie. Where was Jackie born? And tell us a little bit about her background.
My mother was from Western Tennessee, by the Mississippi River, a small town called Martin, Tennessee. She grew up in Martin, but she had relatives here in Lexington, two aunts. And at the beginning of World War II, she moved up here to attend nurses training. She had actually joined the nurses cadet corps, never did have to serve in it, but she received her nurses training and worked at the old Good Samaritan Hospital. My father was serving his apprenticeship funeral director at Kerr Brothers Funeral Home in Lexington. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. At that time, the funeral homes in Lexington ran the ambulance, so he would take injured people to the hospitals,
right.
And that's how he met my mother. He took somebody on an ambulance call into Good Samaritan, and they met, and
wow.
He decided he'd like to take her out.
And that's how it all came about.
That's how it came about.
When were they married?
They were married in November of 1948. I believe it was November 27th at Nicholasville Christian Church.
Right up here, which your dad was probably a member.
He was an elder, member and an elder. And in fact, his family, the West family, was longtime members of that church.
So he worked at Kerr Brothers. He met Jackie. They eventually got married, you said, in 1948. Now, they lived the couple life. Did they live in Lexington?
They lived in Lexington while he was serving his apprenticeship at Kerr Brothers.
Okay.
When the opportunity arose for them to purchase this, they moved down here and lived on Richmond Avenue.
And then in 1951, one of the big events came about, and that was
my eldest brother, Quinn.
Yeah, Quinn
was born.
And he, of course, got his name from your dad.
That's correct.
Who's, you said Quinn was his mother's name.
Quinn was his mother's name.
Now, side here, for a long time, you all had a fellow that worked with you up there named Bill Quinn. Was he was related?
He was one of my father's first cousins,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so that was the blood relation.
That was a blood relation.
Quinn. Now, Quinn, let's stop a minute and talk about you guys. Tell us about Quinn, what he's doing now.
Quinn is an educator in Lexington. Mm-hmm. He worked at the funeral home for many years, decided that he would take a change his course, and he had already received his education to be a teacher, so he decided to pursue that.
And he's still doing that?
Still doing that, yes.
So Quinn, and people ask every once in a while, because they see you and they see John, but they're like, well, where's Quinn? What happened to him? So
Quinn lived in Lexington for several years, mm-hmm. but now he's back in Wilmore.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
Great. Good to have him back. Now, that was in 1951. About 3 years later, they decided to have another.
John Allen West.
And he still works at the funeral
he's
home.
He's still at the funeral home, yes. He and I are our partners there now.
Right. And that was in 54. Now, it was a few years before they decided to have another child.
There are 7 years between John and I.
Yeah.
And I suppose the only thing that I can figure out is that they didn't get it right with John or Quinn, so they decided to have another child, and that would be me.
And third time's the charm.
Third time's the charm, I like to think.
But it's interesting in this information that I have. I got some family information that, in fact, your mother wrote. Evidently, third time was not the charm, because in 1964, which was 3 years after you were born, they decided we need another. But this time it was different.
This time it was different. My sister Janet Sue was born, and yeah. and Dad liked to say that he baked a three-layer cake and then he put the icing on it. So after three mean boys, he got the girl.
He got the girl. What's Janet doing now?
She spent 17 years in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. She's married. In fact, her son just went off to college, and she moved back to Wilmore.
Well, now, you know, of course, all of you have kids, and I don't want to single any of them out, but now Janet's son, he just, he's Eagle Scout, right?
And that's correct.
He went pretty, well, as high as you can go, I guess.
He's an Eagle Scout, and he's going to school in Virginia, and you know, it's the Citadel.
Yeah.
And he's just gone through their initiation, and that was rather rough.
Oh, I bet. Well, I'll get back to you, because we kind of skipped over you there for a minute. You were the third child, and you married a local girl. Tell us about your wife.
Married Virginia Montgomery, daughter of Harry and Mary Montgomery from Little Hickman. They ran the store there for years and years, and we met in high school. I believe I was a junior, and she was a sophomore.
Mm-hmm. High school sweethearts.
I suppose so.
You all have three kids?
We have three children, two boys and a girl.
And, of course, that's okay. But that's not what you dote over.
No. Right now, the focus is my granddaughter, Shiloh, and she's the apple of my eye. And you always hear about grandparents being crazy. Well, you can count me as one of those.
And that's okay. Well, you know, we'll get back now to talking a little bit more about the funeral home. Your dad, as we mentioned, had bought his part in the late 50s. And you've been in it all, well, since you were a little boy, you've been around it all your life. And I'm assuming that is the real reason that you and John continued in it. What do you see are some of the biggest changes in Jessamine County, Nixville, from funeral home days then to funeral home days now?
Doug, back then, the funeral home was your hospice, mm-hmm. your ambulance service, as well as your funeral home. One of the big changes is everybody used to have at least 2 days of visitation.
Right.
The funerals were more family events mm-hmm. instead of just a function. And people visited with each other. You got to know the families more. That's one of the biggest changes in the funeral business. But I said they were the hospice because we set up hospital beds. We loaned out wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. We loaned out crutches. We set tents up. We had potty chairs, as well as running the ambulance service.
Right.
And that's as big a change as there was.
Oh, yeah.
Because I suppose the funeral directors were the only ones who had vehicles equipped with stretchers.
Right.
And that's why they started transporting people to the hospital. And my father absolutely loved the ambulance service. In fact, would not get out of it. Would go on call morning, noon, and night, and still visitations lasted till 11 o'clock back then. And, you know, he really burned the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And probably one reason for his early demise, but he would not have had it any other way.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't remember those days.
Right.
The fact that if you needed an ambulance, you didn't call 911. There was no such thing. You called the funeral home.
You called the funeral home. The funeral homes would call a couple of people.
Yeah.
They would meet. They would go. But obviously, it became more regulated.
Right.
We had to receive our EMT license.
Right.
We had to do the transports. Back then, everybody was happy that you were trying to help them.
Mm-hmm.
As society became more litigious, it became a matter that, okay, we not only want you to show up, but we expect the highest level of care,
mm-hmm.
not just good intentions.
Right.
And it became economically unfeasible
sure.
for the funeral homes
sure.
to run the ambulance
sure.
service.
But back then, David, and we might put this in some kind of perspective, of course, the county has grown in size and population since then. But, you know, you still think about it that back in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
or late 70s and 80s, back in that era.
Early 80s.
You had two funeral homes who each basically had an ambulance, and they had their hearses and stuff, but they may have had three or four people that were working not only the ambulance but all those funerals too.
That's
and still
correct.
Covering this county 24/7. It's kind of overwhelming if you think about it that it even got done.
It is overwhelming.
Yeah.
that two funeral homes with an ambulance apiece and probably a backup
right.
station wagon or hearse
yeah.
ran the ambulance service
yeah.
for this entire county.
Now, to put it in perspective, and you being county judge are able to tell us this, how big a service do we have now? Now, we've got a bigger population. We must say that. But what are we looking at over there?
You're looking at a multi-million dollar
mm-hmm.
operation
mm-hmm.
when we have five ambulances ready to roll at any one time
yeah.
and a couple of backups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's evolved. The technology obviously has
right.
evolved. I remember when we had the first oxygen-equipped ambulance, and you would go on a scene and somebody would break their leg and everybody would be screaming, put oxygen on them, like that was the medicine. But the technology has vastly increased.
Yeah.
We just got some grants for it's a camera that you can insert down the throat,
mm.
and those were tens of thousands of dollars a piece.
Wow.
And we have power lift stretchers
mm-hmm,
now
mm-hmm.
That reduces workers' compensation claims and wear and tear on the back. Everything as far as ambulance have changed.
If some of the people in the past that worked those ambulance calls at your funeral home would see now, well, your dad,
mm-hmm.
if he were to see now what it has evolved in, first off, he probably would think, man, why didn't I have all that? He'd be amazed, wouldn't he?
They would be absolutely amazed.
Yeah.
But you just think, back in those days, the new technology was the beeper.
Yes.
And
yes.
boy, that gave us freedom because we used to be tied to the telephone.
Right.
But then with the beeper, we could go
right,
out to
right,
eat.
Right.
But if the beeper went off, you had to rush back because you knew you had a call you had to go on.
Yeah, times have changed, and it's a whole lot different. Well, let's talk about your mom now. Your mother, once your dad, she was always involved in the funeral home. Is that correct?
She was the behind-the-scenes person. She
yeah.
would answer the phones. She would come down and assist him, especially mm-hmm. earlier on for all the children. And my sister and I came later. So she had always been involved, but she was involved in the community as well. A lot of people don't know this about Mom, but she helped to form hospice
right.
here.
Right.
She was one of the first board members
yes.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something that I'm very proud of. Dad helped form the first Little League here
mm-hmm.
and was involved in a lot of community events. And as was common in that day, the man seemed to take the forefront.
Exactly.
But Mom was always active, always worked in the community, and I'm proud of their service.
And you think about it, with both of them running the ambulance service and running the funeral home, how they had time to do all this other stuff and be active in the church and the football. It's amazing that they had time to do anything.
You know, Doug, we have so many more distractions today when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in the pre-internet.
Right.
Pre-cell phone
right.
age. And somebody said that we check our email on our telephones 31 times an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have those distractions.
Right.
They made more contact face-to-face rather than through electronics. But yes, the time constraints on them were great, but they didn't have the distractions we have today.
Was there any ever in 1981 when, and I never will forget the day that I heard that Holton had died. It was a shock to this community, 54 years old, and people just couldn't believe it. But was there ever any discussion or with your mom or any ever thought that maybe we shouldn't keep this going? Was that even a question in your mind?
Was never a question at all. I grew up on the street behind the funeral home. Mm-hmm. So when I was old enough to walk, I was at the funeral home. People say, oh, doesn't that seem odd to you? It didn't, because I grew up in it.
Yeah.
And it was something that I enjoyed. I didn't enjoy having to deal with people in their grief, but there was some ministry in trying to help them through their grief, have a ceremony that marks that, and come to a healthier place.
Right. And a lot of people do not understand that you have to have the want to start with to be in that business. It has to be somebody, you know, it's like any job. I've often said that in our government, there's no way that I would attempt to be a jailer. Right. I'm just not cut out for that. It takes a special person to do that kind of job. It takes a special person to do that kind of job as far as the funeral world is concerned, because you walk that fine line. You know, you want to be there for your folks and you want to try to help them. You can't be the crying, babbling funeral director because they need strength. But on the other hand, you can't seem like you're cold to it either. It is a fine line that you walk with these folks.
You have to realize that you are there to help them. Mm-hmm. And if you become as emotional as they do,
you're not helping.
You're not going to be a help. Right. But at the same time, you do care. And, you know, everybody asks, what's the hardest thing? Obviously, when a young person passes, that's very sad because hopes and dreams that parents have had are gone. But when a person's been married to somebody else for 50 or 60 years and they approach the casket, and they look upon a person that they've walked through their lifetime together. Mm-hmm. That's sad, but you know that at one time they were young and they had passion for each other, and they laughed and they shared their sorrows in life, and they're saying goodbye to the person that they did that with. You see all types of people, all walks of life, and it really gives you a good perspective on what's important.
That's true. Well, you all continued the funeral home, and as it still goes today, but I want to ask you a couple of questions. It's kind of become, in our program, it's evolved to where I'm asking everybody these questions. So I'm going to ask you about both your parents, and we'll start with Holton first. If you could describe him in one word to somebody, what would David West, the son, describe Holton as?
In one word, I would describe my father as genuine. And by that, I mean he genuinely cared about people.
Yeah.
He loved to run the ambulance service and to be around people. Mm-hmm. He enjoyed the funeral business insofar as the fact that he got to be around people.
Right.
And he got to be in contact with them. So there wasn't a lot fake about my dad. He genuinely cared about people. And he passed that on.
Now, same question about your mom, who, by the way, is still living. We haven't mentioned that Jackie is still with us, and we're glad she is very much with us. In fact, I always enjoy seeing her. What's the word for her?
Curious. I think curious. Mom is in her latter 80s. Mm-hmm. She lives on her own. And I might also add strong in there.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, women of that day had to be strong. And when you were born during the Depression and you came up through that, went through World War II, you had to be strong. The reason I said curious is that Mom taught us to ask questions. Mm-hmm. She always had books, encyclopedias around for us to look at. And she taught us to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And then to see a woman that ran her home with the capabilities, and then to see her now in her late 80s live on her own to do her own housework to pay her own bills. That's just something that I've come to admire.
Yeah, she is strong. A lot of people, a lot younger than her, don't have the ability to do that, unfortunately.
That's right.
Well, you know, your dad, in passing as quick as he did not have the chance to see what would become of your all's business and how it would grow. What do you think he'd say if he could come back right now and just look down upon the whole West family? He'd be pretty proud, wouldn't he?
I think he would be very proud.
Yeah.
I think all of us have conducted ourselves in a way that we become productive citizens.
Right.
That we all try to give back. Mm-hmm. That we all have faith. And we've kept the genuine concern for people alive as far as the West family.
What do you think he'd say if he knew his son would be a county judge?
He would probably say, "Are you crazy?" I remember at one time people had approached Dad about being county judge, mm-hmm. and I was probably only 7 or 8 years old. But I remember hearing bits of that conversation, and he wasn't interested. And I've always wondered if psychologically there was a trigger that caused me to seek that office.
It may have.
I still think he would be proud.
Well, David, our time is up, but I appreciate you coming in. You know, there's a lot of people, and you know this, I don't have to tell you this, a lot of people still in Jessamine County who remember Holton West and remember him very fondly. We had a program on a few weeks ago about a fellow who I used to be in business with, Bill Laney, and his mm-hmm. daughter made the comment, said that how many people will stop at her and say, "You're Bill's daughter." And she said, "It's just so nice to hear the things that people say about them and the remembrances they have." And I'm sure you and the John and Quinn and Janet all go through that too.
There's not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't mention my father. And usually it's the over 50 crowd,
right?
Because those are the people that were around here.
Right.
But it is good when you hear from your father. And one of the reasons that we have funerals is to preserve memories.
Right.
And when those memories last 30 years mm-hmm. after your death, mm-hmm. it is a warm spot.
Sure it is. And that's why we do this show, and we appreciate you being here.
Doug, we enjoy listening to this show. It's a walk back in time for those of us that have been here, and right. it's an education into history for those who haven't.
And we hope we can keep it up, and with the help of our people here at the station, we can do that. So appreciate all of our listeners, too. They're great people. David, good luck in your job. You've almost got the first year under your belt, and you haven't really grayed that much. So I think you're either that or you're buying color at the store. I don't know. One of the two.
Yeah, there's no color, but it's going gray. So we'll see what happens at the end of 4 years.
Great. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Doug.
Well, I want to thank David for coming in this morning and telling us all about his family, his mom and dad, Holton and Jackie, and the impact that they had not only in the family but on our community. We appreciate you listening to us here on All Things Jessamine. We do it every Saturday morning at 11 and look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, stay tuned. Jess FM 105.9.